to call to order the October 5th, 2016 meeting of the Tiburon Town Council. May I get a roll call, please?
Yes, Councilmember Fredericks. Councilmember O'Donnell.
Here.
Councilmember Doyle.
Here.
Councilmember Frazier.
Here.
Mayor Tolini.
Here. This time, I would like to open the floor for anyone wishing to address the town council on subjects not on the agenda. You may do so at this time. Please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
I'd first like to ask the council if each of you received my pamphlet.
We did, but could you state your name for the record, please?
I'm Mrs. Pamela McConnell Douglas, and this is my husband, Stephen Douglas. So how many of you actually read what I sent you, or did you just thumb through it?
It's not really a question and answer time, but I...
Pardon me?
It's not really a question and answer time. Is that
no,
a rhetorical question?
I'm not doing
question?
It for question and
okay.
Answering, you know, because I took the time to do what I had to do regarding putting this pamphlet out. It was not for garbage.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I have lived here for 69 years. I attended Tamalpais High School, the College of Marin, and the University of Hawaii. And I decided to come back to Tiburon with my family. I have two adult kids. They're 33 and 44 years old. But something unjust has been happening to me. And I'm here today regarding my dignity in the town where I grew up. About 7 or 8 different individuals, they're telling me to my face that I'm harassing them, I'm stealing from them, and should I name off those individuals? One of them is in the audience now. And I want peace. I don't want hatred in my life, in my husband's life. We want peace. Deidre is one of those individuals who told me to wait.
Well, I don't think you should name off names, actually.
Pardon me?
I don't think you should name off names, actually.
For me, I have gone through hell. I've gone through doctors, lawyers, and et cetera, and et cetera. I want the abuse to stop. If you can help these individuals to stop harassing me and abusing me, I will appreciate it. I have tried for 40 years to get work where I live in Tiburon, Belvedere. Everyone tells me that there's no openings. I turn around, Tom, Dick, and Mary from different countries, different states. Why can't I survive where I live? It's crucial. I'm trying to live, not being kicked out. I don't want that. I love all. I don't hate anyone. But I told my family that I was going to be addressing this meeting. If I fall out dead now, well, leave it there. Because I have been treated so terrible, including my church, St. Hilary's. Why? Why? I don't understand. What's causing these individuals to act as though I'm a foreigner and kicking me in my butt? Why? I'm really upset. I mean, we have 3 pennies to our name at present time. 3 pennies. because we cannot find work, benefits. I'm a paralegal. I'm a docent. I'm a model. No one will hire me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this time I would like to move to our first and only action item, update on capital project planning process. Could I get a staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor. As the council is aware, we've been to the council twice on capital project priority setting, first at the council retreat, and then at another meeting on July 20th. At that meeting, council directed staff, or formed a subcommittee to work with staff on developing a list of criteria that we potentially would use to rank capital projects. We're here tonight to report back on the work of that subcommittee and staff's work as well. The council may recall the process we laid out as sort of a four-step process where you first develop a project portfolio, a group of projects that may be considered. You then rank those projects, and then once that ranking is agreed upon or approved, you integrate that into the budget, and then on an ongoing basis, you review and make adjustments to the project portfolio rankings. Right now, this evening, we're going to be talking about the ranking projects based on established criteria phase, and this was the work that the subcommittee was working with staff on. In preparation for working with the subcommittee, staff surveyed other agencies and looked at their ranking criteria. We met with the subcommittee. We decided on using the county's criteria as a base for starting from. We drafted changes based on our meeting with the subcommittee to those criteria, and then we exchanged emails back and forth for a number of times and made other changes, and the information that we're going to be showing you this evening is the result of that work. So the questions we're going to have for council this evening are these the right criteria? We have weightings associated with each criteria, so the second question would be, are these the right weightings? And then each criteria has a score within it, and then that would be the third question, is the criteria ranked correctly within that? So we're first starting with the list of criteria that we came up with, and you'll see this on the screen now. What this represents is the description of the criteria and then the weighting that we've tentatively proposed to be associated with that criteria. So we're gonna leave this on the screen, and more or less for the rest of the meeting, we're hoping this to be more of an open dialogue conversation as opposed to us just talking or formal meeting. This information was provided to you in the staff report, but I'll just quickly go through them. Removes or reduces threats to health and safety, meets general plan policy, required by legal mandate, avoids consequences of deferred maintenance, large functional benefit to residents, does it have a dedicated non-general fund source of funding available, what effect the project may have on operating costs, and does the project have a large aesthetic benefit to residents? So sort of the first point of discussion for council is, did these criteria make sense to you? I do recall at the meeting in July, sort of at the end, there was some suggestion that we try to keep the criteria to a lower number, in the 5 or 6 range. I'll tell you that it was difficult, only because we did throw out some other criteria and we've combined a few, and we did end up with these 8. So at this point, I would actually bring it back to council for a discussion on whether these strike you as appropriate criteria, and I'll just show you what we'll be doing moving forward. So next we'll be looking at each one of these criteria and how we've proposed to allow someone who's ranking projects to score them.
Can I just interject quickly?
Sure.
Even though there are 8, we did discuss probably the top 4 on our sheet are things that we, or actually the top 5 are things that we as a council would most likely defer to you on, and as a council we would probably only even though we would give input on what you guys do, the top five, we would mostly focus on the bottom three.
Right, you may, the order on this may be slightly different than the order you have on your sheet.
Right, it is.
For the screen, we put them in order of weighting, with the highest weighting at top, and then descending down. That is probably gonna be a little different than what was included in the staff report. But the mayor is correct that during our discussions, it became, you know, one of the things that came out of it was that there may be rankings that somebody who doesn't either work in a town every day or is intimately familiar with the project may not have any basis for how they would score that.
We just don't have the information.
Right.
We'd have to ask you anyway.
Right.
So you're looking for feedback or questions?
Yeah, we're looking for more of a conversation, I think.
Right.
We don't have a large crowd, we have Deirdre, but.
I do have one comment. Just one comment, and the two benefits that kind of stand out as, not stand out, two of the benefits up there say that one is large functional benefit to residents, the other one's large aesthetic benefits to residents. And the assumption is, I'm guessing, this is why I guess more kind of a question, do we know that? Do we know what the large functional benefits to residents or how they feel would be? And do we know what the large aesthetic benefits to residents would be? Or are we making the decision on behalf of the residents? And in essence, that's what the council,
yes,
one of the charges that we do all the time. Well, but, you know, the demographics and the look and feel and the folks that are living and moving into our community are a little bit different today than they were as recently as 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm just wondering, I'm not trying to make this a burdensome process, because I think it's a good process that will help provide direction to staff, to council, and to future people who work within our community. Can we involve somehow, reach out to the public and get their opinion on those two points as we look at capital projects? I know that's a can of worms. I just wondered, maybe it's not necessary, just a thought. I'm open to listening, and maybe there's a better answer.
You know, I don't know the answer. I think, you know, of course the answer is yes, meaning we can do whatever, you know, we can do it. I'm not sure how easy it would be. One thought would be, instead of reaching out to residents in some way on specific criteria, you know, once a ranked list was created that council more or less, you know, reached consensus on, perhaps there is a way to share that list with the residents and have them look at the whole list of projects and ranking as a whole, as opposed to the specific criteria used. I agree with you, you know, in particularly in aesthetics, it's in the eye of the beholder. But functionally, I think there are clearly some projects, and Pat can jump in, that are, you know, clearly beneficial functionally. And, you know, we talked a lot about, I think, storm drains on this one, or?
And Greg, I'm not suggesting, by the way, that the answers that you might propose or we might propose are the wrong answers. I'm just wondering about inclusion and how do we, is there a way to do that, or is it not necessary? That's all.
Well, certainly one of the objectives of the council in exploring this way of ranking projects was transparency and,
right,
and getting the community involved. How that looks, you know, I think is to be determined.
Okay. I'm sorry. Just reflecting on that for a moment, public involvement is really great. I think everybody here agrees with that. When we look at a large functional or aesthetic benefit, one of the things we would take into account is how many people are affected by the function. That part of what determines how large it is.
Sure.
I think one of the challenges of a public outreach is, my experience so far in Tiburon is that there is a vocal minority that will advocate very hard for something, and they may not always represent the entire population of the town.
It could be.
And it's hard to differentiate that in a public outreach, simply gathering opinions. It's not to say that those people are incorrect or their priorities are incorrect, but that it's hard to determine whether it reflects the entire town or not. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is.
So you're suggesting that they have an opportunity to have input on the criteria or on a specific project to which
Just inclusion, and I don't know, Allison, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. You'd say, well, we publicized the meeting and put it on the agenda, and nobody's here. I just think inclusion, and it's because I think our demographics are changing. And what we all thought was what everybody liked or disliked or needed or didn't need may still be absolutely correct, or maybe there's some things that are out there that we hadn't thought about.
We hadn't thought about it, but there's also, if you're really trying to be inclusive, one of the problems is that the increasing demographic are younger families who are often too busy to get involved, so you don't get to hear from them. So the real question would be how to get them to come and talk to us.
Well, I was hoping that when we have actual specific projects and talk about the ranking in a public forum, that there would be public participation.
Yeah, well, me too. And I said to myself, I wonder how many people will be here tonight, you know, with the Giants game and, you know, an agenda that may or may not. Anyway, so enough. I don't want to beat the dead horse. I just think inclusion is a good thing.
Well, I think this is a different kind of discussion. It's sort of a procedural one. It doesn't have the spark of, we're going to discuss building this. You know, you might get more of an audience if that were the discussion. May I ask, what is going on?
Absolutely correct. Many of those projects will be on a list that we develop, but there are already other ones that Pat and I have, you know, thought about that need to be on there. So yes, the list you're looking at, the discussion tonight is not about specific projects or about the list we have. We simply provided it to show you that we did a test run with some projects that we had, you know, that we had a list of projects, and we gave it to staff to rank. So again, the discussion tonight should be centered on the criteria we're ultimately going to use to rank projects, not the projects themselves. Yeah, as you said, we struggled with that in our meeting and in follow-up emails. I think of all the criteria, that one probably generated the most discussion of how you use it, because the general plan is a big document, and it's, Pat will probably tell me, I can't remember if there's like 200 recommendations, you know, there's hundreds of suggestions on what the town should be doing in a number of different areas. Right. So it is difficult. That's a difficult one. It's proven to be a difficult one to quantify in any way. So. Right, and Pat and I were talking about this very thing just a couple hours ago as we were going through this, and he brought up a really good point, which is our general plan not only makes suggestions on things we should be doing, but it also makes suggestions on things we shouldn't be doing. So we were trying to discuss, well, how would that work if there was a project that, and I can't remember the example you used.
I actually used a hybrid of something that did occur. Somebody, Blackie's Pass are supposed to be passive. That's in the general plan. What if somebody wanted to put a very active type of function, such as a skate park? in Black East Pasture. Well, that's against the general plan. How is that reflected?
And I guess before more comments are forthcoming, I would just remind everybody that, you know, the goal of this is not to create a list that everybody is stuck with. I mean, the idea is to come up with a tool that gives us some frame of reference for ranking projects, and then you all have the ability to move things around or make decisions based on other things that are not captured in the criteria. It's really just a more or less a starting point to try to create some order in something that really doesn't have any in the beginning. So it's not a hard and fast list, although there are entities that treat it that way, I'll say. I've worked for a couple entities that did. But generally, they're not treated that way. They're treated as a guide, as a guide, as opposed to a something you have to stick with.
Very targeted to me. It seems like almost none of our projects would fit in that.
Almost what?
None of our projects would fit in that, I would say.
Well, I can think of anything near the waterfront that comes to mind that most immediately, although I think there are probably others.
Storm drain project.
Storm drain project, the ferry landing, the Elephant Rock.
Could be affected by, not that would be a
say that again.
You're saying that could be affected by, was that what you were saying?
Or it will address some impact.
Oh, it will address
some climate change. So I think that just the storm drains, moving the storm surge and conditions, even the public works courtyard.
I don't know if it's in the general plan yet. I know that the, you know, the county is taking the lead on developing a predictive model based on different levels of sea level rise, and the draft version of that report is going to be released. It either just was last week, or it's going to be released in the next week or so. In all, right. Well, it'd be interesting to see, you know, there, as you know, then there are a number of maps associated with that effort, that attempt to depict what the coastline will look like depending on different levels of sea level rise. I have not seen those maps yet for Tiburon or the rest of Marin for that matter, but it'll be interesting to see those and see how that potentially interacts with our project. Again, absolutely. This whole effort is not meant to box in the council in any way, or you know, set you down a path that you can't turn from. It's really meant to be a guide. You know, I think each entity that does this uses it in a different way. I see it as just really a tool for council when they're assessing, when they're balancing the resources available with the projects that they want to get done. There's some method to the madness of you know this project is ranked in a certain way, and of course you know there may be a project that's ranked really high, but it's a $10 million project, whereas there's five projects that are ranked lower, but they're lower costs, so they end up getting done first because the funding is available for those projects. I mean, there's a lot of factors that the council will have to weigh as we make decisions on what projects we actually do. But again, this just gives you kind of a starting point that everybody sort of looked at the criteria and that there's some sense to how things are ranked based on a reasonable set of criteria. Well, remember, so let's just be clear what we're looking at. These are the criteria, and this is the weight, the number in parentheses is the weight. So, for instance, in the first one, removes, reduces threats to health and safety, and I'll just go to it. So this is, when we go to score, whatever number you rank the project in this scale will be multiplied by the weight, so 4. So if you rank this a 4, that it's the project represents dealing with something that represents imminent danger, it would actually be 16 on the score matrix because the weight is 4. Right, so back to this slide, what we're saying is that the removes the threats to health and safety is more important than a large aesthetic benefit to the residents. Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure that. So, you know, in the commit with the mayor and Councilmember Fredericks, we talked about the weighting a lot, you know, so in that case, you know, here, the funding one, which indicates that a dedicated or a non-general fund source is available, is only weighted to one, so that it's weighted relatively low. You know, council could choose that maybe that's not weighted high enough, maybe that should be weighted higher, but again, that's sort of what we're looking for this evening is to try to come to a consensus on at least a first try at a set of criteria. And it doesn't mean it's going to be the criteria that we ultimately use. We may go through the ranking process and look at the results and say, you know, this just didn't seem to do what we thought it was going to do. Let's go back and look and see how we can tweak it. And I think this is a starting point. And it may take us a couple of rounds of doing this where council's satisfied with the results we're getting from the rankings and the criteria we have. Of course, yeah. Of course, I would fully expect you to have a discussion on the project. I mean, we were encouraged, to be honest. You know, this was our more or less our first shot at this. And when we did give the list of projects with the spreadsheet that scores them to five staff members, kind of randomly, we ended up with pretty similar scores. We had, you know, pretty good overlap, particularly in the top third. So that encourages me that, you know, that people understand the criteria and that there's almost a consensus on a lot of the projects. Right.
So this may be a little too in the weeds to talk about tonight, but I've been thinking more about what if there's something that haphazardly fits one of these categories, but that's not the main purpose. Does it still get ranked high in that secondary category? You see what I'm saying? For instance, if we were building something that cost $1 million and $10,000 of it was going to satisfy a legal requirement, does it rank highly in the legal requirement section, even though we're not spending $1 million to satisfy this legal requirement, right? So, and the reason that I don't think it should rank highly in the meeting of legal requirement number is because you're only spending $10,000 on satisfying that legal requirement. So to approve a $1 million project on the basis of this high score isn't really reflected. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I do see what you're saying.
Two different projects.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, you started by saying this may be in the weeds.
Is that two in the weeds? Okay, sorry.
Ranked lower, you know, when you did. Well, the ferry landings may be a good example of that, right? Nobody had the ferry landing on their radar to be replaced necessarily until Golden Gate Bridge District, you know, was going to take over service, and they indicated we had ADA issues that needed to be addressed. I don't know if that's kind of what you're thinking.
And even with the dot ferry landing as an example, is there money, a smaller amount of money that could have been spent? I don't think there was in this case, but is there a smaller amount of money that could have been spent to make it ADA accessible without replacing the whole ferry dock? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, in that example, you know, I think we're doing, again, we're in the weeds a little bit, but in that example, I think we are doing the minimum required to fix the ADA issue by redecking it, and that's all we're doing. But I guess that begs the question, if you could spend, if the projects can be separated, if you have a $1 million project and you're only spending $10,000 on a legal mandate, why not just spend $10,000 on a legal mandate and don't do the rest of it? I mean, again, I don't know the, you have to look at each project sort of differently, but I think that just drives home the point that this is not at all meant to be tying the hands of the decision makers. It's really meant to be just another tool to say, it kind of at first blush, these are all the projects that have been identified that, that folks are either interested in the town looking into or getting better pricing on. And based on a set of kind of general criteria, this is how they'd be ranked. And it's the beginning of a discussion as opposed to the end of a discussion. I think that's maybe the better way to look at it. I would argue that, you know, if that were the case, that project would rank, end up ranking really, really high. You know, the advantage, and I, you know, we went into this hoping to have a shorter list, I'll be honest, and but, you know, one of the things a larger list does allow you is it does give you the ability to differentiate more, right? The more variables there are, the more differentiation you can actually end up having. Thank you.
we as a council are only focused on three, like the bottom three, because that seems manageable, right?
Well, I'm thinking as a council and staff together.
Right.
And maybe there are five or something. I'm not getting any traction from my colleagues, so why don't we move on? I got to read my line pretty well.
Again, I would just remind, you know, council, this is our first shot at this, right? So, you know, we may go through this in a year and say, look, this thing just is too unwieldy. It's too many categories. And yeah. In the interest of trying to get forward momentum, you know, maybe we should work through those other ones because there's still a lot of stuff to look at. And we can certainly go back to this original list at the end and decide whether, you know, A, whether the criteria, the number of criteria is right, how we describe them is right, and then their associated weightings are right. And then as we go to each one, so, you know, the next eight slides essentially is each criteria. And this is how a scorer let's go back to that at the end, maybe. Or we can talk about it when it comes up, which I think will be next. So again, we use the county's version of this as a starting point, and with the committee, we tweaked some of these. So again, the idea is, if I'm looking at a project and just pick any project, let's use the ferry landing as an example, which, you know, we're going to do anyway, but let's say we were scoring it. So reduces threats to health and safety. Well, that'll be another criteria, right?
But if we didn't have a legal mandate, is it a current danger? I don't think it is.
Right. So, if you know, again, if this was me scoring the ferry landing, it may be a one or two. I don't know. Maybe a one.
Yeah.
So he gave it a two. So, you know.
Be reflected in the legal part of it.
Well, it doesn't make it a mandate. If there were not a legal mandate, it would still have the biggest threat. He's looking at the scale.
Right.
And he said associated with the health and safety, the threat of litigation, whether or not there was a legal mandate.
But I look at it this way. So if we hadn't been contacted by Golden Gate, or and we were just down at the ferry landing saying, you know, let's assess the ferry landing as a capital project, and you know, when or if we should, you know, do anything about it. If I look at this particular criteria without thinking about the you know, how would I score it, you know, I would probably score it a one, or maybe a one, you know, maybe a two, because without thinking of the ADA, you know, the accessibility issues, it's in pretty good shape. I mean, the deck is worn, it's pretty rough, but it's been there for 15 years. But it wouldn't jump out at me as something that was a danger or, you know, gonna hurt somebody. Now, when you factor in the legal mandate, which is another criteria, I don't know if it's the next one. No, the next one meets the general. Yeah, so then, you know, so this is weighted very high, or relatively high, three. So this, I would score the ferry landing, knowing that Golden Gate has had a CASP officer out there, and they've noted violations, that it's not, this would score three, times three is nine, right? So it ends up bumping the ferry landing up pretty high. And that's reflected in the test run we did with staff. The ferry landing was, it was 7th on the list. But I don't think all the staff understood that there was a required fix at the time, so. So again, you know, the idea here is if you were scoring a project, does this make sense? Did these 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the words next to them, would you be able to use this as a tool and say, yeah, I can put, you know, I can come to a reasonable, you know, I can score this based on the words that are there. Do they make sense? Sure. Again, this may be the, you know, we recognize there are going to be a number of criteria and categories where, whether it's council or somebody else, may not have enough information to accurately score something. So, and that's kind of a whole other piece of, once we decide the criteria and these words and associated numbers, how should we go about doing the ranking? And that's, you know, that's another part of the conversation. It's hard.
Try to take a common sense approach and think, well, you know, it'd be great to have, you know, a ranking for everybody. But just because it's great doesn't mean the orders, you know, it's really the right thing. Like maybe the riprap is falling apart at Elephant Rock or the walkway's gonna crash.
Exactly.
But at least this gives us something to base it all on. And it makes it simple. And, you know, and if we're going through it and start seeing that every project is gonna take, you know, 10 people to worry for a week again.
Yeah, and we can go through relatively quickly. So, again, this is the first one. And this is the one that Council Member Fredericks already discussed. And frankly, I agree with Council Member Fredericks on this one, that this is a tough one. I think maybe removing this one. But
I
having
agree.
That'll
make him happier, too.
Yeah, but some way to note that it's, yeah, and I don't know, you know, you may recall during our committee meeting, we talked about not having 0, 1, 2, 3, just 0 or 1. It was either on or off. It was either in the plan or it was out of the plan. I mean, that was. Right. So maybe we'll put this one aside for now as a potential one to modify or take or get rid of.
What I found in general when I was scoring this is if it was a general plan policy, 236 without housing, was that if it met at 1, it met a lot. If it wasn't in there, it wasn't in there. And there were some that clearly you could find that would be against, which I didn't know what to do with.
Well, you know, that maybe we reflect that in the spreadsheet where we score, where it's a column that's just in general plan or not, you know, check mark as opposed to a score. Yeah, and it doesn't affect the score. It's just another piece of information that council can use. So
I like
that.
Yeah.
So this is back to our legal mandate one. Well, you know, maybe if I'll move through them, and if people want to go back to, you know, if there's one or two we want to go back to, we can. Or yes or no would even be better. Right, yeah, I mean, if you have 6 months to fix something as opposed to 6 years, it's a big deal. Pat just mentioned, you know, let's remember the weightings too, if people are comfortable with the weight. So this is weight, that the weight is next to the category in the blue, so this is weighted a 3.
And that would be if we were to reduce the number like a yes or no, well, a number 1 as a yes may not be high enough weighting for you right now based on some of the discussion I heard.
We didn't get down, you know, we did kind of discuss what is, and I, we were talking about this earlier, what does it actually mean when I say yes, officially noted? Well, who officially noted was one of the conversations we were having earlier. People, they make suggestions, I think, more than
and incentives. My experience, you know ABAG better than I do, ma'am, but a lot of times what they do is they tie it to money. MTC ties it to money, incentivize it, yes, but
so
it's not a legal mandate.
So that would be reflected in the, is there a non-general fund source of funding available, right? You know, mm-hmm. So that issue will come up in other criteria. That's exactly right. No, you know, when we met as a committee, I think we talked a little bit about that some of the categories would have 0 through 5 and some would have less. And as you said, if you score a 3 here, you're essentially adding 9 to the score. Could be a 15 if there was a 4 and a 5.
Yes, actually, in our subcommittee meeting, there was one criteria for which we eliminated a couple of steps. It went 1 through 5, we would make it 0, or 1 through 6, we made it 0 to 5, and we actually omitted a couple of them, and I actually gapped those and kept them, and the feedback was, no, it would be better to be 1, 2, 3, 4 and leave it at that without that gap in. So we did look at that, and it was decided to keep it 1, 2, 3, 4. We can revisit that if you'd like. For instance, another way to take one legal mandate, if there was just 3 of these, but you wanted to make it real important, would be to go, you know, 0, 3, 6 or something like that, as opposed to raising the number by number 3, but that you can do it either way. Absolutely.
I think the way you address that is you play with the number at the top. That was my opinion when we talked about this. I just think if when you look at it, you think that because it goes down to 5, if that makes it score too high, then that's when you would adjust that down to a 2.
No hidden agenda at all. So this is the avoid consequences of deferred maintenance.
So this category was taken from two separate county categories. One was the cost of deferring it, and one was the consequences of deferring it. So as a for instance, one example I've used in this is storm drains. I've got some storm drains out there with holes in them. Problem within a year. Or current or imminent, maybe. I've got other storm drains, they don't have holes in them. They're corrugated metal, and if they're not fixed before they get holes, if they're fixed before they get holes in them, and they can be lined, they can be done at half the price. So there is a cost benefit, but that's different from the storm drain out there that could eat a road in the next year. So one's consequences, one's cost, and that's how we did it.
So it's a little awkward, actually, and the engineer next to me has reminded me several times that this of all the ones, this is the one he feels he would have kept split into two. But to try to reduce the number of criteria, we try to combine those two concepts into one, and it is a little awkward. Because it is two different, it is kind of two different issues, but I think it still works. And, right. Right. This is the functional benefit.
So in grading this, when we talked about it, there's kind of two different things going on at the same time. If you look at number one, you could have something that's like really functional for very few people, or something that's minor benefit to a lot of people. And that would both be a one. Where it comes together as a three is where it's a big benefit to lots of people.
Funding. And again, pay attention to the weights. Now we're down to number ones, right? I don't remember. Yeah, so that was the functional benefit was two, weighted two. And now we're down to criteria that are weighted one. I didn't hear the last part. I wouldn't disagree with that.
That seems like something we would just address, though, right? If we just take it off the list. We can get all this money if we just go some of our general funds to get it. It's just a different concept if it's tied to timing.
Obviously that's council. I certainly, and I think at one point we may have had this weighted higher. I don't remember now all the iterations that we've gone through on this.
Well, that was also why I requested the column on the chart that says how much general funds would be required, because then if there's no or little general funds required, then you easily see it in the column and say, oh, well, let's do this.
something we could do if we had the ability to do it because there's something available, but it's a nice to have as opposed to maybe a.
So this is one, I think we added this one from the county. I don't think this one was originally on there.
Yes, both the last one and this one were added by the subcommittee, and this reflects energy savings, savings with water, projects which basically won't have a negative impact on budget, but a positive impact on budget going forward.
It gets a zero, which lowers it in the category, you know, the higher the score, the more desirable the project, right, or the higher it's ranked. We did discuss negative scores in a couple categories, and this was one of them, where it's like, if it increased your operating costs, then should that be negative? We decided not to go down that road. Oh, yeah, exactly. We assume long-term operating costs. Yeah, I think that's a great example, a solar system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. And, you know, another example that Pat and I talked about is we probably all know the HVAC system in this building is ancient and doesn't work very well. It's expensive to fix, but it would reduce our operating costs. I mean, so that in this category or in this criteria, that would, you know, rank relatively high probably. But it may not in other criteria. More efficient in the more probably for this building, more of the controls would be better. So we're zoning the building better. And but yeah, I mean, this system's pretty old. You would have operating cost savings. Now, whether the payback period would make sense or not, that's a whole different story. Yeah, we know we'll save operating, but if it takes 30 years of those operating savings to pay for the project, well, maybe it doesn't make, you know, that much sense. So. No, I said, what if it took 30 years to have a payback, you know, then at that point, you'd be replacing the system again in 30 years. So it's, so this is meant in a lot of other entities just simply use saves energy as a criteria. We wanted to capture water and other, you know, really water is the one that's not necessarily energy related, but potentially is a factor. And then we're down to aesthetic benefit. So remember, the functional benefit was weighted a 2. The aesthetic benefit were weighting a 1. So the Well, so that would go back to the functional, right? That would have maybe scored high on the functional criteria as well. And then number 3 here is interesting, where it's, you know, it's a byproduct of something where you weren't doing it for aesthetics, but because you did it, you end up with an aesthetic improvement. I can't think of a great example.
Roundabout.
Oh, that's right.
This is an opinion of mine that I think ranks high. There's a high functional benefit, I think, when the library goes into enhancing the intersection, and one of the ways to enhance that would be with a signal, but I think a roundabout is better functionally, and I think it's a lot better aesthetically, as a for instance. You might not like a roundabout without monumentation or something in the middle of it, but I think they look kind of nice as entrance places. So I would give that some.
Okay. So that's a great example.
I think as Councilmember O'Donnell mentioned, Caltrans must consider roundabouts now as an alternative, and they have already said that this looks like a good spot for when the time comes.
So, you know, Pat reminded me that when we met, we changed the language that was where we say resident, the original, the one we used for the county said users or public?
It was broader, users, public. Some of the criteria even got into the staff functionalities.
But it didn't address economic,
right?
You know, increasing economic activity in any way. We haven't seen, at least in the ones we found, we didn't see criteria like that. I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm not quite sure how we would quantify it. Likely to. Sure. Say that, I didn't catch that.
You could wrap that in with G, large functional or economic benefit to town, and then have like a separate line item where it was solely an economic benefit.
AC, we only have 0 through 3 here.
There you go.
You could add one here. I'm just trying to benefit to residents and has the potential to increase economic activity or something like that. I don't know. Pat mentioned, do we just add that language to two, or do we make 0, 1, 2 a new one, which ranks it a 3 if it's also benefit to residents and commercial activity, and then 4 would be a significant benefit to residents or commercial activity? So again, the purpose of tonight is not to talk about in any detail the ranking we went through. We just simply did it as a trial run to see if people could use the score sheet. And Pat, we can bring up maybe that spreadsheet. Yeah, why don't we just do that? It's included in your packet, the kind of the scoring spreadsheet. Excel. So we put this together, and you know, it actually works pretty. You know, it's also if you have Excel, this is you know, we just plug in the numbers, and it the weighting. You don't see the weights here, but they're built into the formula. And over to the left, it just tabulates the total score for the project. So it's relatively easy to do, but there's a lot of boxes, right? Because we have 8 criteria, and however many projects you're ranking. So it does take some time. So that brings up the question, can we go back to the point? Oh, I hid that other one. The next steps, right before that. Yeah. All right, so I think that's where we were. Right. So really for us, you know, again, for this evening, what we're, were there any we had to go back to make?
General plan policies. We have, so far this evening, we've kept pretty much everything the same, except we've had commercial establishments or town businesses and functional benefits. And there's an open discussion on where we're at with meets general plan policy and how we want to handle that. One of the suggestions is put a yes no column on it. Another suggestion was to keep it a yes no and raise the weight on it. There may have been other suggestions.
I recall landing on a column that says yes no with no scoring associated.
Excellent.
Okay. So
I thought that was too in the weeds.
Yeah, we may, you know, once we have that, you know, once we maybe have some more information on what we're looking at, potential effects for the town, it may be easier to figure out how to integrate specific projects into that are likely to do that. I think that's probably. I mean, what I think is probably going to happen is, you know, at the staff at the retreat next year, we'll probably have hopefully a pretty lengthy discussion about projects. I'm hoping we're there, and maybe we discuss it in the context then. And we'll be discussing it before that for sure. That's a good question. I'd have to ask Scott that question, I think. See what he thought. So in terms of, so on this slide, the first one, finalized criteria and weighting, what I'm hearing is with the changes that Pat just recapped, we're gonna leave the weighting as we proposed. So that's that one. The next step, and this is really staff, is to of course, council can always let us know, hey, what about this, you know, what about this idea, what about this idea, and add to the project list. But we will be working in the coming weeks to further develop the portfolio of projects that we're going to rank, and we'll be developing, you may recall back at the retreat, we're going to be creating a sheet for each project that describes the project, it talks a little bit about the financial impact, potential financial impact, and the theory is that those sheets, if you were someone scoring, you would have these sheets available to read and get information and be able to be a little more educated about the projects before you scored them. So we will be working on those. But at some point, we want to rank the projects. And the subcommittee had a lot of conversation about different ways to do this, and Pat and I were chatting about it today. And these are sort of the options we've come up with, which is the staff and council do this together. Does staff rank the projects, give council what staff rankings are, and then council has a discussion about it. The idea that there are some criteria that council may not have an information basis enough to make a decision, does staff rank some of those columns and then give it to council to rank the others, or is there any other idea of how to do this? I can tell you in my past positions I've been in, and Pat can jump in if he's done this before, you know, typically you see a combination of staff and elected officials working together to rank it, like a subcommittee, and then kind of bringing that to the full council, not necessarily as a recommendation, but as a starting point for discussion. But it can really go a number of different ways. I don't think we're quite there yet, so I don't know if we absolutely have to have a decision on this evening. But it's just something to think about. How are we going to come up with, how are we going to actually rank, do the bid? Because Pat reminded me, I was suggesting that if staff was going to do it, oh, we'll just have a meeting, we'll all sit in a room and talk about it. He said, well, think about it. All these boxes, if you have, each one of these boxes takes 5 minutes, it's a whole day, basically, you know, to go through if you have 25 or 30 projects. I think that goes for everybody, meaning everybody brings their own biases to projects, and you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. you're saying you wouldn't be surprised if the Public Works Corp yard ranks number one? Well, I think there's no one right way, obviously. You know, there's any number of ways this could be done. I know once we start finalizing the criteria and getting the project list together, you know, just as a matter of course, we're going to be ranking them just to see what comes out. Ultimately, how council wants to kind of get to a ranking that they reach consensus on that's going to be used. I don't know the best way. All I can tell you is it takes a lot of time.
I
that's sort of the idea behind those project sheets, is to try to pack as much information in those sheets as we possibly can. And in theory, if we do a good job, and some projects are relatively easy to do that with, other projects are probably not so easy. But if we do a good job with those sheets, that should make council's job a lot easier. You should be able to read that, get a good summary, and in some cases, more than a summary of a project, and learn enough to come to a reasonable, you know, way to rank things. So that's fine. I mean, I'm happy to do it that way.
Rank it as well, right?
Yes, but everybody would have the same opinion of project, starting with the same thing, instead of waiting for the council to do it after.
Who comes up with the idea? So who comes up with the idea for leaders and like a staff?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, I think early on in this, at the retreat and in the follow-up meeting in July, you know, projects come from any number of sources. Staff certainly is one source. Yeah, council, you know, council members have ideas on projects. The public brings up things. Hey, why doesn't the town do this? Those are all, you know, and once you have this, you know, once you have the mechanics of do this, when a new project comes up, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you already have the system in place. You describe the project, and then you score it. It's not a burden to add individual projects. It's when you're trying to start like we are now. I mean, I would guess if Pat and I sat down for a half hour, we could probably add 5 or 10 projects to the list that we used as a trial run for staff. Now, some of these ones on the list we're already doing anyway, so they're gonna probably come off. For instance, the ferry landing, we funded it already, so that would probably come off. I think there's a couple others in there that we're already committed to that would maybe come off. But the projects can come from any number of sources. I would want to do it. I think I would want to do it prior to the retreat. I would like to be pretty far down by the retreat, because presumably we're going to be making decisions not that long after the retreat into what to include in the budget for the next year, so. Sure. Right, so we could certainly provide in advance of the retreat a suggested project list that we'd be ranking, and prior to the retreat, just as you mentioned, council would have the opportunity to add, say, oh, well, what about this? Let's add this, let's add that. That's fine.
My only comment is to echo that whatever we do, I think we all should rank things on our own, because this would take forever to try and fill out every single box in some kind of.
Oh, as a group?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time consuming when you start. Yeah, like trying to score it as a group would be difficult. Yeah, exactly. So.
About it, so we were in March.
use that time. Let's, I would say once we have the project sheets ready, let's start ranking them.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that.
December, January, some of these, not dead months, but months that are occupied.
So perhaps the best way is, you know, we'll be, again, staff will be working, and it'll take us a little time to get these sheets together for the list that we are going to create, obviously. And we can, you know, probably sooner rather than later, we can send a brief project list out to you just to say, hey, these are all the projects we're working on project sheets for. If there's something we've forgotten or something you want to add, you can let us know. And that sooner rather than later, meaning in a future meeting, perhaps in a couple of months, we could have project sheets and a test run of staff's rankings of those project sheets, and we can come back to council at a regular meeting, just like tonight, and review it with you and show you kind of what it's showing. And then based on your comments that evening, we could, you know, adjust either the criteria, the weightings, or anything else about the process. And hopefully by the time we get to the retreat, we're sort of at the tail end of prioritizing and council reaching a consensus on what needs to be included in the budget. Does that make more sense?
All right, any town council reports?
I just have a question, and it's not really important. So I've had a couple of people ask me about the sushi place downtown. We have a public right-of-way sign. I think it's a public access, public water access.
Yeah.
Sure.
Public shore access, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Any other town council reports? Any town manager reports?